You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, we are joined by Nav Athwal, who is the founder and CEO of Realty Shares, whose platform has actually raised over $200 million across more than 400 deals in 31 states. But prior to founding Realty Shares, he was actually a real estate and land use attorney in San Francisco, and he represented some of the largest real estate and renewable energy projects. This guy's no joke. He was actually the valedictorian of his Berkeley Law School class. He's also a regular contributor to Forbes and TechCrunch. He knows a ton about the real estate tech space right now, and I'm super excited to have him on the show. So, Nav, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ken.
Man, glad to have you on. You know, it's always good to have somebody in the tech space. Since everything's kind of going in that direction, I'm sort of excited to bring you in and get a feel for what's going on with real estate, specifically the tech space. You know, we're going to talk about your crowdfunding platform here in a second, but I'm curious, how does somebody in the Bay Area, in the center of, you know, the tech startup world, find themselves starting a real estate tech firm?
The technology is all around us in the Bay Area. There's people starting new companies and ideas every day, and I just caught the bug myself. But to kind of go back before Realty Shares, I've been a passionate real estate and technology person for a while. I actually started my career as an engineer, so got my affinity for technology as an engineer working in the Bay Area, and then transitioned into real estate as a broker first, so got my broker's license and started selling single-family homes, small commercial buildings, and then went to law school and graduated in 2010 and started practicing real estate law in the San Francisco Bay Area, where I was working with very big institutional clients, helping them acquire assets and develop new assets. So real estate and technology have been sort of part of my background and experience, and I love both sectors. I love technology because it can take very arcane industries, massive industries, and transform them, make them much more efficient. We saw that with Uber, saw that with Airbnb, and real estate is ripe for disruption. It's a massive asset class, one of the largest asset classes in the world, but there's so many inefficient ways in which we transact with real estate, interact with real estate. And so I caught the bug and decided to jump ship from my law firm in late 2013 and start doing this full time and never look back. And now we're a company of about 85 people here in San Francisco, really working on transforming how real estate investing and capital raising is working by using technology.
Interesting. So were you yourself a real estate investor at the time? I know in the Bay Area, I mean, real estate's just bananas in terms of pricing. Were you yourself when you were brokering in between being an engineer in law school, were you investing yourself?
I was. I love real estate. I love investing in real estate. And most of my investing happened in 2010 and beyond. As we all know, that was a great time to find great assets. Unfortunately, the Bay Area was just too pricey for me. So I wasn't buying in the Bay Area. I was buying back in my hometown in the Central Valley, where prices were a lot cheaper, but still had the bug and wanted to buy assets. And the idea for Realty Shares really came from my experiences in trying to invest. So this was 2010, 11, 12. Again, really good opportunities in real estate, but finding and arranging capital and to get deals done became my biggest pain point when I was trying to go to 10, 15 friends and family members, trying to circle up equity or going to banks and trying to get debt done. That became the single biggest pain point for a successful transaction. And that's when, you know, the idea of Realty Shares, of creating more capital efficiency, really came to me and decided to really develop that and transform an otherwise very inefficient process.
Well, I think any investor, including myself, feels your pain, because that is one of the biggest pain points of investing, is pulling together the private capital. I mean, it's, you know, you got your onesie twosies, you're trying to pull this person on and turn their money after it pays off, and it does. It becomes just very cumbersome. And it seems like there are a handful of other companies that have tried to fill that void, and even capital in general, it feels like, for this space is getting cheaper every month and more competitive. So it seems like you are in a competitive space, but one that was ripe for, like you said, disruption. We needed a solution.
Yeah, I think the way we differentiate ourselves at Realty Shares is in a few ways. We really do focus on small and mid-cap deals, deals that are too small for large institutions. And when I was working as an attorney, it was fascinating to see just how much efficiency of capital exists when you're doing a $100 million deal versus a $10 to $15 million deal. So by we're hyper-focused on a part of the market where there is tremendous amounts of inefficiency because you don't have access to a pension fund or an insurance company to raise your capital. And the second thing I think we do that really makes us different is we do focus on equity capital for multifamily retail office properties. You know, there is relative efficiency in the debt markets, and I think that the only way to compete there is on price with some caveats there. Mm-hmm. But on equity, you're really not only helping provide a new network of investors to someone who's looking to raise capital, but you're also providing them with tools to better manage that capital using technology rather than using some of the arcane methods like email, phone, snail mail, et cetera. So I think the advantage we provide is that focus on equity for deal sizes that are too small for direct institutional investment. I think that really makes us different.
That is interesting. It does seem like most crowdfunding platforms, it's almost all debt, I would imagine. I don't know if I've ever even seen the equity piece of that.
Yeah, debt is really the majority of the platforms out there, and it's easy. The debt part's easy, right? It's easier to automate and scale that. But equity is where there's true value, and we do both debt and equity at Realty Shares. But I think one thing that helps us acquire customers more efficiently and keep them very sticky is the fact we are able to do the equity part of a cap stack, which tends to be the more inefficient part, especially for deals that are below that $40 to $50 million threshold.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, let's take a step back. Let's maybe explain to the audience what crowdfunding is and why there's sort of been this boom in crowdfunding over the last couple of years.
Sure. So crowdfunding really got its start in a very different industry. So there's a company called Kickstarter. Most people have heard of it. Indiegogo is another one that's very similar. And these platforms first use the concept of crowdfunding, not for real estate investing, but rather to help pool money so people could help fund interesting concepts, interesting products, interesting movies that were, you know, potentially going to be made. And in that capacity, you weren't actually investing, but you were just sort of donating in exchange. You were getting things like T-shirts or bragging rights, et cetera. So that was the first sort of iteration of crowdfunding. And then in 2012, Congress passed the Jobs Act, and the Jobs Act essentially changed the way investors could invest in real estate projects as well as private companies online. And that's what I think really spawned this new wave of crowdfunding companies focused on not just donations and rewards, but actually focused on providing more investment opportunities for investors and more efficient capital for companies and real estate sponsors. And so that's what really prompted this whole wave of crowdfunding companies focused on investing. And for real estate, it's pretty simple how crowdfunding works. It's really taking a group of individuals that want to put smaller amounts of capital to work in a deal. So rather than putting $100,000 plus to get real estate exposure, they could put as little as $5,000 through our platform. They pool that money with other investors that also want to put smaller amounts to work. They take ownership under an LLC structure, and that money is then pooled and made available to a sponsor that wants to acquire an asset. So that's really at simplest form. It's group funding of a real estate asset where each individual is able to put smaller amounts to work, and the way you're able to do that efficiently is by using technology to connect those individuals, allow them to transact, and allow them to monitor progress of the investment they made on an ongoing basis. And that's really the service we provide.
Well, and the big difference too is they don't necessarily have to be accredited investors, right, to invest on a crowdfunding platform.
Well, if you're talking about crowdfunding with the concept of Kickstarter and Indiegogo, anyone could use those platforms. Unfortunately, for our platform today, we are restricted to accredited investors. The threshold, just for the benefit of your listeners, is $200,000 of income or a net worth of $1 million. Although there are law regulations as part of the Jobs Act that have changed that threshold, we just have not yet adopted those regulations, although we are closely looking at them as a way to potentially get non-accreds involved in 2017. So a lot of interesting developments within the crowdfunding space that could transform it from accredited investors only to a much larger part of the general public that can get exposure to real estate in a much more effective and efficient way.
Interesting. Now, is the money typically raised using like Reg D's, or do you guys use Reg A's, or just straight LLC limited partnerships? How do you typically structure your deals?
Yeah, that's a great question. So all of our offerings today are pursuant to Reg D. So these are private placements, and that's what makes that accredited. That's what creates that accredited investor requirement. Now, Reg A, I'm glad you brought Reg A up because I think that's really interesting. And that Reg A existed and predated the Jobs Act, but Title IV of the Jobs Act changed Reg A into what we call Reg A Plus, which upsized the amount you could raise using that from 5 to 50 million. And I think that's a very powerful regulation and tool to get non-accreds involved. Essentially, you could create a pool, raise 50 million from non-accreds and accreds, and then deploy that capital into anything, including real estate. So that is a vehicle we're looking at very closely as a way to get non-accreds involved. And then all of our equity transactions are pursuant to an LLC structure. So that's the structure we've been using. What's really cool is just the power of technology. I mean, I think what's fascinating is we're not really doing anything that's drastically changing how real estate has worked. We're just taking the same processes that people have done and adhere to in the offline world, but making them tremendously more efficient by powering those processes through technology, allowing investors to pool capital together with check sizes as small as $5,000, allowing someone to apply for capital and 10 days later get that capital through a much more automated underwriting process. So we're not reinventing the wheel. We're just creating a much more efficient way to do business as it's been done in the offline world. And I think technology is the only way to do that.
No, there's no doubt. You're leveraging technology because you think of all the Joe Blows out there who've maybe found a phenomenal deal and they're trying to pull the financing together and they just maybe don't have the connections. They don't have the network to pull the equity piece and the debt piece together. But now they come on a platform like this and you've opened the world to them. Now you've got probably hundreds or thousands of investors looking for these types of opportunities.
That's exactly right. I mean, you look at your typical real estate company or sponsor doing deals in a very hyper-local market, and they have maybe 10, 15 LPs and trying to tap into those LPs for every single deal they do. Then they have to go manage those LPs. Through our platform, they can get access to thousands of investors that are looking for exposure to real estate. It sort of makes capital raising an afterthought when it comes to doing a deal. And that's really what's powerful about platforms like ours. And I think the tech movement in real estate is not just limited to companies like Realty Shares. One thing I'm very passionate about is tech and real estate and the intersection of those two industries. And we've seen some really fascinating companies get created to solve problems within real estate that go beyond just capital raising and investing to things like finding properties more efficiently, to managing properties more efficiently. And there's a new movement, a new wave of these companies, and I'm really excited to see it.
You know, absolutely. It's interesting. Literally just this week, I'm researching, you know, property management company who manages vacation rentals for half the price of what I'm paying my existing property manager. and they're having a ton of success because why are we paying so much to these local companies to when you can consolidate, use a large tech company that has all the skills, the resources at their disposal at half the price?
We're going through a new wave of consumer mentality and behavior where consumers are looking at what they're paying for and asking, is there a better, cheaper way to pay for this? And I think we saw this wave with, you know, think about just the simplest form of this, using online brokerages rather than your offline brokerages and offline advisors. I mean, there's companies like, you know, the first wave was E-Trade, Scottrade. Now we have companies like Robinhood that are sort of eliminating the middlemen and making transacting much more cost effective. And this is a new wave. And I think it's really strong within millennials, but even in later generations. And so I think companies that are within a service industry are really going to have to think hard about where they're really adding value and whether they're charging too much for that value. And I think that's really the wave of the future.
Mm-hmm. No, there's no doubt about it. So let's talk about Realty Shares for a second, because really you've got two types of consumers. You've got your investor on one end and you've got your borrower on the other end. How does that dichotomy work?
Yeah, so we have two sides to our marketplace. The one hand is the investors and the other is the sponsors. So we essentially have a platform that services both. And the way it works is if you're an investor, the process is pretty simple. You sign up through our platform, you create a free account, and then you have access to deals that we vetted and listed onto the marketplace. Anytime we list a new deal, we'll notify all investors on the platform. We have thousands of them now on the platform investing, and all those investors will get a glimpse of the deal and then could invest as little as $5,000 using a three-click process. So very powerful, very efficient, very streamlined. For sponsors, the process is a bit different because we're curating and vetting them and only accepting a small amount of these sponsors. And it starts with an online application. They fill out an application that takes a few minutes. And then we take them through an underwriting and curation process that could take anywhere from a few days to maybe a couple weeks, but where we'll really vet them, their background, their track record. And if they look good and they pass our underwriting, then we'll list their deal on the platform, and that's when it's made available to our investors. So we're really matching deals that we've underwritten and vetted from sponsors with a track record to capital that's looking for real estate exposure, has created an account with us, and is able to invest in those deals through a very streamlined way.
You know, I think most of our audience is probably listening to this thinking, okay, here's an opportunity for me to obtain some capital that's cheaper than, you know, the break your legs rates of my hard money lender in my backyard. Yep. And they want to know how do I get in there, and what does it take to get vetted, and what types of deals would you consider looking at?
Yeah, great question. So we offer a few different products. We offer both debt and equity products. On the debt side, our main product has been a single family loan for fix and flippers or folks that are looking for bridge financing. And there we can provide a loan that's 6, 12, or 18 months in term. We are typically much cheaper than your local hard money. Our average rate is 8%. It could be higher or lower depending on your credit quality, whereas hard money, I think, is in that 10% to 12% range. We also charge fewer points than hard money. So what we're really looking for when you're applying for that type of capital through our platform is, one is we want to make sure you've done a deal before. So we're not looking to partner with folks that are doing their first flip, but we at least look for at least one prior deal that's been completed that we can look at to see what kind of success was achieved on that deal. And then we really have thresholds around FICO, around leverage, and our product is 85 to 90% LTC. We'll finance both the purchase and the rehab. We'll hold back the rehab and drive down over time as work is completed. And we will look for typically a 70% ARV. So we look at the deal, we look at the track record, we look at the borrower's FICO, and we have thresholds around each of those elements. And we're able to go ahead and complete that underwriting usually within a week. Our average time is a week to get all that work done. And then we can usually fund you within 10 days. That's been our average time frame to fund a loan. And again, at a cost savings, that's cheaper than your local hard money lender.
Sure.
For commercial, it's a little bit more involved. So the time frame is a little longer. Instead of 10 days, it's usually going to take 16 to 20 days because there's a lot more moving pieces. And our thresholds are also a little higher there. So we're looking for a bit more sophistication with those types of borrowers. We're also looking for a little bit more of a robust track record. And we can provide both a bridge lending product for you if you're looking for debt, as well as equity for deals that require an equity component. So we have a little bit more breadth to our product set on the commercial side. Most of our deals have been on the multifamily side, but we also have done hotel, office, retail, mixed use, self-storage, et cetera. So we have a very broad focus, and we could raise anywhere from $1 million up to $3 million in an equity structure, and we could raise anywhere from $100,000 up to $1.5 million for a debt structure on the single family side, and larger amounts on the commercial side.
So, you know, every equity deal looks very different from the next. Is there some standardization on your platform for how you put together the equity piece?
Yeah, so what we try to do is standardize the process around the transaction. So it really starts with legal documentation and creating template documents that we can use for the operating agreement, the subscription agreement. That really does help create much more efficiency around the transaction, and we could make those available to our sponsors that may not have their own operating agreement. The second thing we do is we create sort of templates for underwriting. So we have templatized models for every type of asset class that we funded or product type we funded, and we really try to use those standard models to eliminate a lot of the inefficiency around underwriting and the financial stress testing we do on our end. And then the last thing we do is we try to take a lot of data from the deal and normalize it and make it available to our investors in a much more easy to digest way. So we have deal rooms for each of our investments, and in those deal rooms, investors can find standard data and documentation on the investment that they can use to make an educated guess on whether they want to invest or not. So a lot of what we're trying to do is standardize, normalize, and create more transparency within structures in real estate that historically has had very little transparency. And that's really something we're trying to innovate and reinvent.
Sure. So again, just thinking about Joe Blow listening to this podcast, thinking, man, I've got this great multifamily deal right now in my backyard. I would love to find, you know, some partners to get this thing financed. They bring it to you. You vet them, I guess, initially, and then you probably, if you approve them, then you vet the deal. And it sounds like you also then help them potentially structure the deal. What's the normal structure look like for, let's say, $1 million multifamily deal, if they're trying to get the equity and the debt piece?
Yeah. So on the debt, so the debt and equity is obviously different. Let's start with the equity. So if they're looking to raise, typically the way it works is we could finance up to 80% of the required equity. We require the sponsor to typically put in 20% of the equity.
Gotcha. Yep.
So we require co-invest. The typical structure that we've seen our sponsors utilize is a waterfall structure with an 8% preferred return and then a 80-20 split above that. So their promote would be a 20% above that 8%. That's the most standard structure we've seen. Mm-hmm. So that's really what we try to, you know, incorporate within our own deal structures. And once that sponsor is vetted, we can typically raise that capital within a week. So $1 million for us on a multifamily transaction, you know, could be as quick as a week. So we can finance that pretty quickly once the initial underwriting is done. For multifamily, we're usually looking for deals that can generate an IRR of at least 15%. And could generate cash on cash returns of, you know, 7% minimum. So that's typically the thresholds we're looking at. And the most often strategy we see on our platform is value add. So taking a mismanaged asset and adding value, we typically see mostly Class B, some Class A properties on the platform. And we're usually looking at markets that are secondary high growth markets. We're not doing a lot of deals in San Francisco and New York, but there's just not a lot of yield potential in those markets. But if you look at markets like Dallas, if you look at markets like Chicago, there's a better ability to generate yields and there's less capital competition. So you're able to take advantage of that dislocation.
And so how long are these loans? Is the equity in play? Is this like a 3-year horizon, 5, 7, 10? What does that typically look like?
Yeah, our range has been 3 to 7. So some deals are shorter and the strategy and business plan could be executed over a shorter time period. And other times when the deal's a bit more complex or larger, it could be a 5 to 7 year horizon.
This is still huge. I mean, just taking a step back and thinking about this. I mean, think about all the real estate investors that have access to commercial and multifamily deals, and they just know they can't raise the money, so they just leave them alone. And now they have the opportunity to actually pull a deal together on a platform like this, and you're raising the money in 10 days.
This is revolutionizing how real estate capital has worked, and that's something I'm proud of because, you know, Ken, we both come from the real estate world. We know how hard it is to access, raise, and manage capital, and we want to make that an afterthought. We really want to add value, still work with the best sponsors that have a high-quality deal and a good track record, but just make their capital raising and management process an afterthought and make it much more efficient.
So you've been involved in a number of deals, it sounds like. I mean, from being a broker to being a lawyer and now running this platform, and I'm sure you've seen some crazy deals. Is there one deal in particular to you that stands out as like one of the best deals you've seen or have been a part of?
Sure. So we do a lot of very interesting deals through our platform. And so we see such a variety and we see such great deals, good sponsors. But I'm not going to talk about that today because I think that's something that, you know, is kind of obvious. A platform like ours, our track record and our ability to bring good deals is part and parcel to our success. I'll talk about a deal I actually did when I was before I created Realty Shares. So and I wish I had done 10 more of these. If I had capital, I would have. But unfortunately, that was why Realty Shares was created. So I'm from a small town in the Central Valley. That's where I was born and raised. And as I mentioned, I was buying deals, but I just couldn't afford to do them in the Bay Area, just too expensive. And I bought a deal, a small multifamily deal. This was a 13-unit deal. It's very, very tiny. And this was a bank-owned deal. And I bought it at auction. And the deal was well below replacement cost. I think it was a third of the replacement cost, really cheap. It was essentially a fire sale. And the problem with this was the kind of tenants in this in this project were not really the type that pay rent on time. So it really did require a lot of value add to the property. It was about 40% leased when I bought it. And so I was able to execute a lease up strategy, get it to 90% leased over a 6 month time period, and held on to that property for another 6 months. And I bought this property for about $300,000, so very cheap for a 13-unit apartment building. Yeah. 6 months later, I refinanced it and was able to pull out all of the funds I put into the deal. So put $300,000 in, pulled that entire $300,000 out, and bought another property, another multifamily property. And just this year, just last year, I actually sold that property for 2.5x what I bought it. So that's the beauty of buying real estate in a part of the market where there's just a lot of opportunity. 2010, and that property gave me a really good viewpoint into real estate, not only from buying right. I bought this at a very cheap price per door, but also leasing it up and taking that value add approach, and then finally exiting it and knowing when to exit it at the right time. So really interesting property, one of my best investments. I wish I'd, again, done 10 more of these. And what's interesting is it didn't take millions of dollars for me to actually buy an asset and do a deal. It was a couple hundred thousand dollars. I stayed in a market that I knew because I grew up in the market. I didn't go to the Bay Area. So I was able to put the capital together, do the deal, learn a lot along the way. And that was the first ever property, a multifamily property I bought, and it was a huge success.
So you did it with no financing. You just plunked down the $300,000 cash and then turned around and refied that money back out a couple months later.
Yeah, no bank would have financed that property, unfortunately. So, I had to put together friends and family capital to buy it all cash, but refinance it once it was stabilized with the bank and pulled that out to buy another property. So that property not only allowed me to buy another property, but I also was able to more than 2x my money over a pretty short time period in terms of hold period.
That's crazy. What market was that in? Just curious.
This was a tiny market near Turlock, California. You probably have never heard of it because you're in Atlanta, but it's in the Central Valley. And for those of you that don't know the Central Valley, the Central Valley produces most of the country's agriculture. So it's mostly known for agriculture, but there's pockets of real estate within it where you can actually make money. And the price points aren't as high, but you're also dealing with much different rents and different tenant profiles. But it's a market I knew. I think real estate, to a large extent, actually, is very local. You need to know the market. And that was a market I knew. I grew up in it and was able to make some money off that deal.
Interestingly enough, I'm actually originally from San Jose.
Oh, okay.
So I spent my summers going to my grandparents' house in Modesto.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, so, I take back what I said then.
Yeah, so I know the central. And interesting, I have a buddy who's in my mastermind with me who over the last 3 or 4 years has just gone bananas, literally buying 200, 300 houses a year in the Central Valley. And I mean, because the prices, like you said, for a handful of years there during the downturn, I mean, they crashed. And he scooped up just a ton of great rental properties. And he's sitting on a gold mine now because of it.
Yeah, it's the values have all appreciated 2 to 3x. And no one thought to go to the Central Valley. Yep. It's not like Blackstone and Colony said, hey, we should go buy Central Valley homes. They started in the bigger markets. And so there's a lot less competition and ways to make money. You're just not going to buy $1 million asset and sell it for $2 million, but you're going to buy an asset for a couple hundred K and double your money over a short time period.
Yep. Yeah. It's those folks that had the foresight to do that. Like a 13 unit building in anywhere in California for $300,000. That's crazy.
When I was talking to one of my mentors about it, when I was looking to put the financing together, and when I told him the price per door, he's like, is this an apartment building for humans or is this some other type of right. apartment building? So I think that speaks to just the fact that it was so cheap, it was hard to believe.
That's hilarious. Well, so give us point our listeners in the direction of RealtyShares. Where can they go if they're interested in signing up? What's the process look like?
Yeah, so just go to our website, RealtyShares.com. We also have a very active blog, RealtyShares.com/blog, if you want to learn about some of the ways the platform works, as well as just read about real estate investing in general. You could sign up for a free account, or if you're a sponsor, you could quickly apply to get financing for your property, and we'd be excited to see you and hear from you.
And so if you're an investor that wants to go and sign up, is there a vetting process for that? How does that work?
Yeah, so the investor process, you're required to be accredited. So we do ask you a few questions at sign up that would tell us if you are or not accredited. And once you sign up and we verify that you're accredited, then you also do have to fill out a questionnaire that just explains to you the risks of investing and also get some general data from you on your risk tolerance. So it's pretty efficient, pretty streamlined, but you do have to give us a little bit of data for us to make a determination that's required by the compliance part of our organization.
Gotcha. Fantastic. Well, Nav, this was a great interview. Thanks so much for coming on the show. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Ken. A pleasure being here, and thanks to your audience.
All right. Take care. Hey, folks, it's Ken again, and I want to talk to you for just a quick second about becoming a private lender with our company, Georgia Residential Partners. If you've got money right now sitting on the sidelines, maybe it's in a bank account earning less than 1%, or maybe it's in the stock market and you're worried about where the stock market is headed, you might want to consider becoming a private lender with our company. Where you might be getting 1% to 2% on a CD or a money market account right now, when you become a private lender with us, you're actually well into the double digits in terms of return on investment. Again, if you've got money that's not working for you right now, it's sitting on the sidelines, and you want to get it into investment that's safe, that's passive, and has the opportunity to get you well into the double digits, please reach out to me. You can actually contact us through our website at dealfarm.net. Go to the Contact Us page. It goes right into my inbox, and I will reply and set up a time to talk. Thanks so much for listening to The Deal Farm. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care.